Միջին արևելքի քաղաքականներուն համար նվիրաբերված աբրանքներով բերձված ավստրալիական Hobson's Bay շոգենավուն 22 սեպտեմբեր 1922-ին ավստրալիայեն մեկնել են 94 տարիների ետք, երեքշաբթի 13 սեպտեմբերի երեկոյան տեղի ունեցավ մեծարման երեկո նվիրված ավստրալիացի մարդասերներուն կազմակերպությամբ ավստրալիո միացյալ եկեղեցին։ Ներկային ավստրալիայի համայնքի անդամներ, քաղաքական, հասարակական և կրոնական առաջնորդներ։ Միջոցառումը տեղի ունեցավ Սիդնեյի Saint Stephen's Uniting Church-ի Ferguson սրահին մեջ։ Սրահը անվանված է Սիդնեյի մեջ 1918-ին Հայկական Օգնության Ֆոնդի հիմնադիր հանկության վերաբատվելի Ջոն Ֆերգուսոնի անունով։ Հայդակրի պածումը գադարեց Saint Stephen's Uniting Church-ի հովիվ և որվան հանդիսավար վերաբատվելի Ken Day, պարիկալուստի խոսկերով և ներգայացնելով երեկոյի նպատակը և մաղթելով, որ երեկոն ըլլա հարստացուցիչ բոլորին համար։ Առաջին խոսք արնողը եղավ Uniting Church-ի կողմէ ժողովի նախագահ Stuart McMillan, կոչնելով դաշնային կառավարության ճանչնալ հայոց ցեղասպանությունը։ Լսենք հատվածը։
Tonight we're here partly because we agree with the New South Wales parliamentary motion from 1997 and the words therein. The parliament recognises the importance of remembering and learning from such dark chapters in human history to ensure that such crimes against humanity are not allowed to be repeated. Sadly, human history tells of many atrocities against humanity. However, we pledge ourselves to pursue with all possible means a different tomorrow. We're also here tonight to give thanks for the many Anzacs and ordinary Australians, particularly from the Christian community, who practically answered the command of Jesus, found at the end of the story that we commonly know of as the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 12. In this chapter, Jesus is recorded as asking the expert in the law, who was the neighbour to the man who was beaten and robbed and left for dead by the side of the road? And the lawyer replied, the one who showed mercy to him. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. In the face of the horrific genocide wrought against the Armenian people, as told in this enlightened book, Armenia, Australia and the Great War, we read the heart-rending and wonderful stories of those Aussie men that were serving who showed mercy and who couldn't walk by on the other side of the road, who did likewise and were loving neighbours to the Armenian people. The Uniting Church in Australia at the 14th Assembly meeting held in July last year resolved by consensus to support a resolution recognising the genocide committed against the Armenian people between 1915 and 1923. We commended the New South Wales and South Australian parliaments for their acts of recognition and called for the Australian federal government to do likewise. I renew that call tonight, appealing to the Prime Minister and to the federal parliament to do likewise, to recognise the Armenian genocide. In this, you will join with many other parliaments of the world in recognising, remembering and opposing all inhumane treatment of sisters and brothers in Christ, all neighbours, one humanity, regardless of ethnic origins or religion. Further, the Uniting Church in Australia honours and gives thanks for the significant efforts over many years of the people that were Methodist, Presbyterian and Congregational, our forebears, who with other denominations joined together in the Armenian relief efforts during these dark days of history. They too were loving neighbours to the Armenian people. We meet in this hall, which is named after one of those men, the Reverend John Ferguson, who with the Reverend Nicholas Cox founded the Armenian Relief Fund in Sydney in 1915. and the Reverend John Catterall, who in Melbourne in 1917 established the Friends of Armenia. We also acknowledge Edith Glanville, a church member who selflessly, through to the 1940s, led the Australian Friends of Armenia. The Reverend Bernard Crockett, who following resolutions by the Tasmanian Council of Churches, became the secretary in 1922 of the Armenian Relief Committee in Tasmania. The Reverend James Creswell of South Australia, who also in 1922 became the National Secretary of the Australian Armenian Relief Committee. Both Creswell and Glanville visited refugee camps and orphanages in the Middle East, including the Australasian orphanage in Lebanon. We give thanks too for the many other members of Australian churches who work to support the relief efforts and to advocate, particularly with Britain, to oppose in the strongest possible terms the atrocities being committed against the Armenian people and to act for their liberation. So tonight, friends, I want to thank you for being here. Together we remember, together we honour the Armenian people as survivors. Together we honour the Aussies who showed mercy, and together we commit to go and do likewise. Thank you, and may the peace of the Creator be with us all now and evermore.
Միջոցառումը միաժամանակ Վիգեն Պապգենյանի համահեղինակած գրքի Armenia, Australia and the Great War, Հայաստան, Ավստրալիա և Մեծ Պատերազմը գրքի շնորհանդեսն էր. Վիգեն Պապգենյան սահիկներով բացատրեց հայոց ցեղասպանությունը և նշեց ապրիլ 24-ի և ապրիլ 25-ի նշանակությունը ավստրալիական իրականության մեջ, անդրադառնալով անզակի զինվորներուն ականադեսի վկայություններուն, վերաբրածները ազատագրելուն, անոնց կրած նամակներուն և ապա կազմակերպված մարդասիրական օգնության. Վիգեն Պապգենյան.
On the evening of the 24th of April 1915, just hours before the Anzac landing at Gallipoli, Ottoman authorities arrested about 230 Armenian community leaders in Constantinople, the capital of the Ottoman Empire. They were taken to the police headquarters and then deported into the interior of Turkey. Most were killed without a trace. This marked the beginning of what Henry Morgenthau, United States Ambassador to the Ottoman Empire between 1913 and 1916, described as a campaign of race extermination. For the Armenians, the 24th of April 1915 signifies the beginning of the Ottoman Empire's campaign to exterminate its Christian Armenian population. For many Australians, the 25th of April 1915 signifies the beginning of a military campaign that helped forge Australia's national identity. These two events have more in common than just a coincidence of dates and geography. They are also linked together by a humanitarian bond, which began in 1915 and continued for decades more. In the Ottoman War Theatre, Anzacs witnessed the Armenian genocide and helped liberate survivors. In July 1915, about 5,000 Armenian inhabitants of the villages of Musadar decided to resist orders rather than be deported. After 53 days of resistance, they were miraculously saved by French warships patrolling the Mediterranean Sea. When the refugees arrived at Port Said in Egypt, the senior British officer of the Suez Canal made use of three Australian transport ships to meet the emergency. This included blankets, tents, and food. The proximity of the refugee camp to the Anzac stationed in Egypt meant that there would be frequent encounters between Australian military personnel and Armenian refugees. Many Anzacs would purchase Armenian handiwork and send them back as gifts to their families back home in Australia. Other encounters between Australians and Armenians occurred with the capture of Australian military personnel by the Ottoman army. The Australians were held in abandoned Armenian churches and homes, and they became key eyewitnesses to the Armenian genocide. Lieutenant Leslie Luscombe from Geelong had been part of the 14th Australian Infantry Battalion at Gallipoli when he was captured and taken prisoner in August 1915. While being transported to the centuries-old Suk Asvadazin Holy Mother of God Armenian Church in Ankara, or monastery, he witnessed a sad and depressing sight. At the railway station in Eskişehir in western Turkey, Luscombe wrote, On the opposite side of the platform, a considerable number of Armenian women and children were huddled together. As our train pulled into the platform, Turkish soldiers armed with whips were driving the women and children into the train. It was evidently intended to transport them to some distant concentration camp. As the Anzac forces advanced on the Palestine front in 1918, they encountered deported Armenians. Lieutenant Colonel Arthur Mills was among a contingent of Australian light horsemen and cameleers on the Palestine front who helped rescue several thousand Armenian refugees in early 1918. In a touching display of humanity amidst the horrors of war, Mills carried a four-year-old Armenian girl on his camel to safety to Jerusalem. The story of Victorian Captain Stanley Savage follows a similar vein. As a member of the elite Dunster Force, Savage and his colleagues defended a column of some 80,000 Assyrian and Armenian refugees fleeing the invading Turkish army in northern Iran during the summer of 1918. Savage was awarded the Distinguished Service Order for his role in the rescue effort. Soon after his return home, Savage helped found Legacy, a notable charity which continues 100 years on to support families of deceased and incapacitated veterans. Every major newspaper in Australia covered the Armenian Genocide with regularity. The Sydney Morning Herald, for example, published more than 40 articles on the event in 1915 alone. The story of Armenian suffering evoked a very strong humanitarian response in Australia at the time, leading to the establishment of the Armenian Relief Fund, which began in Victoria in 1915 and spread throughout the country and continued to exist until the 1940s. In 1917, the Victorian State War Council recognised the Armenian Fund as a patriotic fund, one considered to have been formed for the purpose of supporting Australia's allies as well as its own soldiers. The 22nd of April 1917 was designated as Armenia Sunday in Victoria, with churches across the state helping collect over £2,000. The Anzac Memorial Service in Victoria, for example, donated to the Armenian Relief Appeal at that time. The movement soon spread, and in December 1918, Sydney's Mayor James Smith organised a meeting at the Sydney Town Hall. Among its 30 participants were some of Sydney's most influential residents, representatives of several churches, civic and political leaders, and business leaders. Clerics included the Anglican Bishop Darcy Irvine, the Reverend Nicholas Cox of the Pitt Street Congregational Church, and the Reverend John Ferguson, the Presbyterian Minister of St. Stephen's Church. The hall we are gathered in tonight is named after the Reverend John Ferguson. In its drive to awaken public consciousness, the Armenian Relief Fund of Victoria prepared a number of pamphlets which contained visual and literary images of Armenian suffering. One of them was poignantly titled, An SOS from Beyond Gallipoli. By 1922, every Australian state had an Armenian Relief Fund committee. The relief movement involved many of Australia's prominent religious, political, and civic leaders, including many feminists. As a result of widely publicised appeals made in both Melbourne and Sydney, the first shipment of relief supplies was dispatched aboard the Commonwealth Government steamer, the Hobson's Bay, in September 1922. The cargo, which included flour, tinned milk, clothing, leather, and woolen material, was blessed by Melbourne's Anglican Archbishop Harrington Lees, with the assistance of clergy from other denominations, at Princess Pierre Port, Melbourne. Over the side of the steamer, a great banner was hung proclaiming Australian flour for starving Armenian children. The secretary of the Australian Students Christian Movement, Hilda King, accompanied the cargo and became a relief worker to the Armenian refugees who were 14,000 kilometres away from Australia. The Armenian relief movement culminated in the establishment of an Australian-run orphanage for some 1,700 Armenian orphans in Antigas, Lebanon. The Prime Minister of Australia, William Hughes, promised free freight to the orphanage aboard the Commonwealth line of steamers for the goods collected by the Armenian Relief Committees. Dr. Alexander Leeper, Professor of Classics at the University of Melbourne and the President of the Victorian Friends of Armenia Association in the 1920s, regarded it as a privilege for Australia, the youngest of nations, to have had the opportunity to save and restore members of one of the oldest of nations. Another prominent member of the Armenian Relief Fund, Edith Glanville, wrote that the Australasian orphanage had provided a godsend to the little ones. Australia, she said, could have no finer monument to the future than the raising of these mites. The Armenians' plight was well known at the time among Australians, and its impact lingered for at least a generation.
Միկեն Պապկենյան շարունակեց պատմելով երկու վերաբրողներու, Ահարոն Մգրտչյանի և Միհրան Տերզյանի պատմությունները, որոնց թորնիկը Նորա Մգրտչյան Գրիգորյան բեմ հրավիրվեցավ հուշանվերներ հանցնելու 1920-ական թվականներուն Լիբանանի մեջ Անտիլիասի ավստրալիական որբանոցի տնօրեններ Ջոն և Լիդիա Կուտսնի թորան Ջոն Կուտսնին, ինչպես նաև Թուրքիո մեջ հայերու հալածանքը հուշակրած ավստրալիացի պատերազմական քերի Թոմաս Ուայթի թորան Ջուդիթ Հարլիի և 1918-ին Սիդնիի մեջ հայկական օգնության ֆոնդի հիմնադիր վերաբադվելի Ջոն Ֆերգուսոնի մեծ թորան Մարգարետ Վորդենին։ Աբա Նորա Գրիգորյան պատմեց իր մեծ հոր հետ ունեցած հուշերեն.
I remember my grandfather as a proud man who walked tall till the day he died. One of my clearest memories of him is how he would gather us, his four grandchildren, each Friday night, to tell us stories, often through song, of the horrors he had witnessed and endured. In our home, it wasn't taboo for young ears to hear such terrifying truths. The Turks burnt his father alive by setting his beard on fire. One uncle was pierced through the throat with a butcher's meat hook and dragged by a horse to his death. Aged 7, he witnessed the bellies of pregnant neighbours be slashed and Turkish soldiers placed bets on the sex of the unborn child. Aged 7, he heard the sweet voice of his mother one last time, telling him to take his younger brother, aged 5, and run. Do not look back, just run. I have 3 young boys of similar age and cannot imagine the desperation a mother must feel, the pressing threat of death that would force me to tell my children to run, to leave my side and never return. A few years ago, when I learned of the humanitarian work carried out by the great Australians of Near East Relief in administering the orphanage that both my grandfathers called home, I was deeply moved. As an Australian Armenian, everything came full circle. My grandfathers are photographed under an Australian flag at the orphanage in Lebanon. They were not to know that their grandchildren and 7 of their great-grandchildren would be contributing Australians one day. I am Australian and proud of what my nation did to save the people so far from their shores. I never had the honour of knowing my grandfather, Mihran Terzian, who passed well before I was born. He was renamed Ali by a Kurdish family that took him in, and he was so traumatised by what he'd experienced during the genocide that in a very short time he'd forgotten who he really was. When I was in Western Armenia 10 years ago, in the very birth town of my grandfather, Mihran, I met some Alis. They squatted in the ruins of the old Armenian quarter. They told me their families were once Christian Armenians. However, as chance would have it for Mihran, his sister Özgen, who was taken to serve in the homes of a Turkish family nearby, found him and over time helped him remember his true identity. They fled with the help of relief workers and eventually my grandfather was placed in the Near East Relief Orphanage. His only surviving family was his sister. My mother is named after her, as her aunt could not bear children of her own due to the horrors she had endured. What a man or woman does in desperate times, either when faced with death or when witnessing genocide, defines their own humanity. But what men and women do in times of peaceful reflection can define our collective humanity. That is also why just recognition and reparation of the Armenian genocide is so important for the human race. Today, we come to honour the humanity of people like John Nunson and Reverend John Ferguson, thanks to whom my personal story is one of the tens of thousands of stories for grandchildren of survivors rescued by the Australian people. We honour their legacy, and in doing so, we also bear responsibility to demand justice for the Armenian Genocide. Today, I humbly, simply wish to utter the words, thank you.
Երեգոյան եզրափակիչ խոսքը կատարելով New South Wales եւ ACT Սինոդի ընդհանուր քարտուղար վերաբադվելի դոկտոր Andrew Williams շեշտեց ցեղասպանության ճանաչման կարևորությունն ու անհրաժեշտությունը, մեջբերելով Jeffrey Robertson-ի խոսքերեն եւ թե ուրացումը լուծում չէ.
I believe that the descendants of the victims of unrequited international crimes do have legitimate grounds for demanding some form of retribution, however long delayed. Where crimes against humanity are concerned, we are all Armenians. The very fact that fellow humans can conceive and commit them demeans us all as members of the human race, not just the Turkish or Armenian race. It becomes a matter of international concern if a country seeks to cover up such crimes by blotting them out of school textbooks or prosecuting those who allege them, or worse, if denial takes the form of an insistence that they were justified in the first place, there can never be a justification for genocide, even on the shoulder-shrugging grounds that it occurred in war when life was cheap and military necessity or national security required it to be risked. Any state that takes the lives of hundreds of thousands of women, of old men and young children on the grounds of their race must, in the absence at least of confession and apology, pay a price as long as a century later. I believe we're in an interesting moment in Australia, and that I think that the tide of popular opinion on our immigration policy is beginning to turn. But we mustn't get caught up in the Islamophobia and fear-mongering that's currently abroad. Yes, the Armenians were Christians, but on my reading of it, the genocide derived more from racial than from religious motives. Although at street level, many were killed to cries of Allahu Akbar, and hatred of Christianity undoubtedly played its part. Religious fervour is an important factor in many genocides. There's nothing that people are not capable of if they think it will secure them a life after their own death. But at this point, I want to urge all of us who argue for a recognition of the Armenian Genocide to keep well clear of the extreme right-wing Christians offering support more for the sake of Muslim bashing than for the sake of historical justice. Last year, as Stuart's already told us, the Uniting Church joined the growing list of people, institutions and governments acknowledging that the Armenian massacres and forced deportations of 1915 to 1923 constitute a genocide. We called for a commemoration of the Armenian Genocide and are developing resources for use in our own congregations. The time is long overdue for people of goodwill to speak up and say that beyond any reasonable doubt, genocide, as defined by international law, describes the process by which about 1 million Armenians lost their lives from 1915. We should not bow to pressure or threats, such as travel bans on MPs and others, who may wish to attend commemoration events in Gallipoli, and speak less than the truth on these matters. Again, Jeffrey Robertson's assessment suggests that the Treaty of Lausanne drew a legal veil over any form of international retribution for the crimes of 1915 and left the Armenians, in his words, as the worst losers of the First World War. The government of Turkey should acknowledge that a crime against humanity, at the very least, the crime of persecution was committed against the Armenians, and make an historic apology, which needs to be accompanied by a set of genuine reconciliatory actions, such as restoration of ruined churches, monuments to the victims of the forced marches, and admissions of the facts in school textbooks and official histories. Denial of the reality is not an option. I've visited, as I'm sure many have, the Holocaust Memorial in Jerusalem, Yad Vashem. It's a powerful reminder of the Holocaust. The tour finishes with a section honouring the righteous among the nations, those who protected Jewish people through that terrible period. Even now, we continue to hear stories of those who helped in the efforts to save Jewish lives. I recently read a story about an Italian cyclist who used his long-distance training as a cover to ferry information and papers which helped secure the release of many Jewish children, a story I hadn't heard before. What a privilege then today to have been able to honour those who took their part in standing up for Armenian people in their darkest time. They surely also count as righteous among the nations. Just as the Armenian Apostolic Church made saints of all the victims of the genocide last year, perhaps we can number the people that we honour today as saints in the household of God. The human faces of the care and compassion of God for those who suffer.
Վերաբադվելի Dr. Andrew Williams. Հայրակիրը փակվեցավ St. Andrew's Uniting Church-ի հովիվ, վերաբադվելի Dr. Գրիգոր Յումուշակյանի աղոթքով. Հայրակրի ավարտին խնդրեցի մի քանի ներկայհյուրերեն արդահայտել իրենց կարծիքները, սկսելով ձերագուտական Fred Nylen.
No, I just want to add my appreciation to the Christians in Australia who had such a heart for the Armenians who were suffering so many, many miles away that they did not know personally, but they had a deep love and concern for them and helped raise money and provided care, especially for the orphanage, so the Armenian people would not die out but would continue until today. So we thank God for every one of them. Amen.
Walt Secord, Deputy Chair of the Parliamentary Friends of Armenia. It's an honour and a privilege to be here tonight to hear that Australia had a small, small role in the history of the Armenian Genocide, and it's important that we all continue to commemorate, as we're probably reaching a point now where there will be no survivors of the Armenian Genocide, which makes it all the more important for books like this and commemorations to continue. Thank you.
Jonathan O'Day, Chair of the Parliamentary Friends of Armenia. On behalf of the Parliamentary Friends of Armenia, we stand with the Armenian people, just as we have stood with them as we've passed resolutions over the years recognising the Armenian Genocide. We need to continue to remember and continue to fight for proper recognition of the genocide. Today's book launch continues in that vein, and I congratulate all those concerned.
I'm absolutely delighted with what's happened this evening. It's so important that we do recognise the genocide that took place. It's so important that we honour the Armenian people. And the connection that we've heard about tonight, the personal stories of people that are connected to the genocide through generations and are now Australians, that was a wonderful way to encourage us to see the humanity that was shown during the Great War by Australian people towards the Armenian people.
Ավստրալիացի մարդասերներուն նվիրված երեկոյի ավարտին տեղի ունեցավ թեթև հյուրասիրություն։